episode 2 of the contest prep series. I'm here with my beautiful wife, who is actually in contest prep. How many weeks out are you right now?
Almost 2 and
warm-up show.
5 or 6.
Yep, about almost 6. Yeah. To the main event. Mm-hmm. Or at least one of the main events, depending on how we do. So the first episode of the contest prep, if you guys haven't listened, we would highly suggest that you guys listen to that first. That basically just kind of runs down preparing for prep. Like, are you ready to do contest prep? Should you do contest prep? The psychological and physiological factors that are involved in the contest prep process. So we touched a lot of points there. We probably scared a lot of people away from contest prep. Matter of fact, I got a few emails from clients that actually listened to it and said, maybe I'm not ready for this. And
that's,
it's fine.
A good because, thing,
yeah, no, it's a good thing. It's a good thing they can accept that. It's a good thing that they can understand, like, I need to get all my ducks in a row. Because, to be quite frank, if you don't have your shit together, it's probably not a good idea to do contest prep. Because it's a lot. It's a lot on you emotionally. And it's a lot on you physically. And the last thing you want to do is start hating the process of actually dieting and training. I mean, it's what we like to do. So, we're going to get into a few things during the second half here. Because we only, like I said, we only touched on setting yourself up, contest prep, preparing yourself for contest prep, I should say. We're going to talk about the end phases of dieting. And a little bit about the reverse and recovery diet process, because I think, and I'm sure you could even attest to this, is that the hardest part of contest prep is not the actual prep itself, it's the diet portion afterwards.
Absolutely.
You know? So the end stages of prep, let's get into the actual competing, because there is an emotional factor. Whether you are just doing this for your first time or if it's like their third, fourth, fifth show, to an extent, you kind of forget about placing, or you start to really focus on placing as you get a little bit closer, because, you know, you maybe start off contest prep and you wanted to place well, you wanted to be your best version, you kept kind of convincing yourself that, and as you get closer, you realize, I'm like, you know, you're dieting hard, you're training, you're sacrificing a ton of time and effort, and you want to be rewarded, and you want to be rewarded with either, you know, a pro card or a first place overall win or a class win, depending on what league you're in. And I think that that's the kind of thing I start seeing people like 3-4 weeks out, like, I just want to win. I just want to win. And that focus is really difficult for me to say, okay, yeah, I want you to win too. Because listen, you say it best. You go right ahead. I'm here talking my ear off. I don't want to use your line. Alyssa uses this quote all the time. And, you know, Alyssa competes regularly. I mean, she's done quite a few shows. So
So what I've said quite a few times is you need to train to win, but you need to prepare to lose. You are not judged on your efforts. You're not judged on your hard days that you made it through. You're not judged on those lifts that you really didn't want to do, but you got it done anyways. You're just judged on that package you bring that day. And not only are you judged on that package, but you're compared to what else shows up that day. So it all depends on what they're looking for and how you compare to the other competitors. There's nothing you can do about it other than give it your all and show up with your best. And that doesn't always equal to a first place trophy, regardless of the effort.
Yeah, exactly. And we have a lot of people that come back and like, oh, you know, I look better than them. They didn't have a good chest, or, you know, they're soft, they were cellulite, I didn't see this. And it really depends on, first of all, what class you're competing in. I think, in my opinion, bodybuilding, things like that are pretty straightforward. We start seeing like a lot of discrepancies in placings when it comes to like bikini and things like that.
But you should know that. You should know that before you go into it, that you just don't. You need to know that you don't know. You don't know what they want. You can only give it your best guess. And I think the worst thing that you can do is take that away from someone else. Don't take that away from the person who won. Don't say that they should not have won or that you should have beat them, because that is not your decision to make. The only opinion that matters that day is the opinion of the judges. And the only thing that you need to know is that you brought your best. Don't strip somebody else of their
moment,
glory and moment of winning, because they probably gave it just as much as you did. So to do that is just, it's poor sportsmanship. You know, kudos to that person for winning, and just know that next time you're going to show up ready to go again.
Yeah. You really need to have a special personality and a really level head. It's going to burn for a minute.
Absolutely. I mean, that last show, Junior Nationals 2016.
Yeah.
I brought my best yet. And now looking back on it, I'm prepared to beat that. But at that time, that was my best. And I got like, remaining girls, please step forward, call out. Not even like a call out. And yeah, I stepped off stage. I gave myself about a minute to cry. A lot of it is, you know, there's so much buildup to that day anyways, the emotions. It's a major roller coaster. There's a ton of adrenaline. It's exhausting. You're tired beyond belief. You're hungry. So when you get off stage, and especially if you didn't place where you had hoped to, there's obviously going to be like a big emotional crash. So yes, I've given myself that minute to cry. And I think that anybody deserves that time, you know, to mourn the loss of the, the sacrifices you've made. But then you just, like I said, you just walk away, you put your big girl panties on and say, all right, like I'm super proud of that package I brought, regardless of what the judges thought of it. So the girls who placed higher than me looked absolutely fantastic. I don't envy those judges' positions at all. So, yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I don't envy that position at all. The judges have a tough enough job, and you know, you get it from your friends, you get it from your family. I mean, at the end of the day, like you said, no one else's opinion matters other than the judges. Your coach's opinion.
As far as placing is concerned, I mean, you can't sit there and debate it. It is what it is.
Right, exactly. And, you know, it depends on the show, too. You know, consider anyone can show up at a show and look phenomenal. You know, that's the part of this entire process is that if even when you do look absolutely stunning, there's always going to be something that you can improve on. So that's the sport. It's more of a pageant, but
and that's what you should like about it. You know, that the endless possibility for growth and for change and for, I don't know, bettering yourself.
Absolutely. It's like one of the famous quotes is that the day you started working out is the day that you're going to be forever small. You'll never be big enough. You'll never be lean enough.
I don't know, maybe I can only get so big. I don't need to be.
Well, maybe it's for more us females, male dominant.
Some of us have a limit.
That's true. Yeah,
I haven't
also
found it yet, though.
Yeah, you placed bad, or you didn't do as well as you expected. You lick your wounds. You get to lift another day, and you get another shot at it. It's the part of the process. And the thing is, too, is if you're not lights out, undeniable, you know, for us, like we coach a lot of natural athletes or within natural organizations, you know. So when you see people like they get pro cards in one of their first shows if they show up and look good, you know, if you're not lights out, you're not undeniable. Why do you want to be a pro? That's another question too. Is that if you can't dominate the amateur leagues, then it won't be that fun in the pro leagues, because I'll tell you right now that even those a lot of those amateur or the natural leagues are pro divisions. I mean, they got people that look pretty good. So, you know, dominate the amateur division. Pay your dues. Yeah, you don't have to get your pro card the first show.
Yeah.
You don't got to win overalls your first show. You know, so it's a process. You're going to work hard. You're going to expect to be rewarded in the highest degree. But, you know, other people.
And you made a point when you didn't intentionally make the point, but you said, you know, lick your wounds, walk away, something about, you know, you got to be on stage. I think people need to also remind themselves that it's a privilege to be up there. There's a lot of people who would love to be up there, who dream of being up there and probably will never get up there for whatever reason. So you need to understand that you have been given an opportunity and a privilege to have made it that far and to have been able to be on that stage. So remind yourself of that. There's many people who envy your position, even if you didn't win.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's an honor. It really is. Like, it's and the amount of people that you inspire from just watching your process, they may never want to step on stage, but they see that, and it's motivating. It's certainly motivating.
Yep.
So you know, even see, like I said, be a good sport. It takes a really, there's a very small amount of people that can actually do this sport long term without getting too frustrated if they're, you know, not crushing it as far as placings go. Shouldn't be like that. If you enjoy it, you know, stick with it. Don't. It is what it is. Roll the punches. You may win, you may lose. It's, again, we're going right back to train to win and prepare to lose. It's not that big of a deal. So be a good sport. And at the end of the day, you got some really cool pictures to look back on, maybe post on your social media, keep you motivated for the next show. So maybe come back bigger, stronger, in a different, or maybe even leaner. So, but realistically, the hardest part of contest prep may not even be contest prep at all. And it's certainly not dealing with or coping with loss. What would you say the hardest part of the process? We're going to call it the process, not even the prep. What's the hardest part of the process of contest prep?
So the hardest part is the day you step off stage. And you go out, you have that free meal, you probably get a little sick. You wake up the next morning because it's probably Sunday, and you're like, okay, I kind of have a day to relax. What am I going to eat? You kind of indulge that day. And then Monday morning, you check in with coach, and you get your macros for the day, and you're like, oh, shoot. That looks just like it did right before I stepped on stage. Not much different. That's hard. That is where things get really tough. And that's when, you're really deep in the trenches at that point, I would say. Dieting for the show is definitely tough. You're definitely hungry, but it seems to be like there's an end in sight, and the end looks like it might be the stage until you start your reverse diet. And it's really, really hard. You might slowly be getting more food, and you're finding that you're just never satiated, even with more food. Even with a recovery where you get a larger jump in your calories, it's just still not enough. I know we've talked in the past as far as leptin goes. That's still not leveled off, and it doesn't matter how much you eat, you're hungry. So it's very, very, very hard to stay on track. And it's equally as important to stay on track after a show.
If not more.
Definitely more important to stay. Well, I don't know about more. You don't want to show up on stage looking like trash.
Yeah, no, I get it. But, I mean, but, you could create some really long-term terrible relationships with either food, your body image, and training
And that brings us back to, are you ready for prep?
Right.
All of those healthy relationships need to have, that's why it's so important to have those healthy relationships established with people and with food, and having those healthy habits, and those habits like super, super ingrained. It's automatic for you to hit your macros every day. Because the first time you screw up, it's just double as hard to get back on track. Any competitor can tell you. It's extremely difficult to continue to diet after a show.
Yeah, I don't even elaborate on that too. And this is an interesting one. And anyone that's actually gone through prep and done the reverse diet can probably attest to this if they kind of screwed up a reverse diet. And because it doesn't always happen overnight. And what I mean was when I refer to it doesn't happen overnight, as in you don't start seeing huge visual changes or even diminishing strength or endurance until weeks after damage is just consistently being done.
Yeah, first you probably look even better and you probably feel even better. And you're Absolutely. Like, oh, I made gains.
Yeah. I just made instant gains. You may not be as dry and lean.
Then boom, your pants don't fit.
Yeah, it doesn't have exactly, you're 100%, you're 100% right. Next thing you know, you're like, wow, my cheeks are really full. what happened? Yeah, so I think a good pointer to really make here is you may get away with it for a few days. You will. Just being a blatant glutton with food, I mean, probably, you know, a week you'll start noticing some pretty massive changes. But you still feel good in your clothes. I mean, you might feel a bit fuller. You're not as lean, but you're a little washed out, gaining some body fat. But if you can get away with one thing here, one thing there, okay, I'm going to smash some PB&Js before I go to bed because, I don't know, I haven't had those in a while. Those are delicious.
Or even just getting lazy with measuring.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Eyeballing. Oh, yeah. You know, I eyeballed that, whatever, ice cream, or I eyeballed my cereal that morning, or, you know, oh, you know, we're just, you know, we're going to go out to dinner, so I'll just kind of eyeball it and order dessert and eyeball it, and, well, I'll just have a drink. It's not that big of a deal. I'm not getting ready for anything. Like,
it's a small
that
piece.
That mindset really, 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 really takes over, and that food temporarily makes you feel good.
Yeah.
So it can spiral out of control quickly.
Yeah. Because you're down regulated. Your entire system is down regulated. Your metabolism is set adaptations at lower amounts of calories. It's used to higher amounts of activity. So then when you start feeding it more food, you get a little bit more performance. You're feeling better. You may be lifting a little bit more, you know, then you start to taper off your cardio, and then all of a sudden cardio is non-existent, and then it all catches up at once. Then your endurance starts to really take a tank. Your calories burned per day are no longer what it used to be. So yeah, it's a very delicate process. Reverse dieting is a very delicate process, reverse or recovery for that matter. You just need to be very, very careful as how you approach your flexibility, per se. You can probably get away with, you know, adding in a meal or so once a week within moderation.
And that might even be a healthy habit.
It might be something you should do, right?
Yeah, to be able to do that and keep it under control on a regular basis, and that kind of helps, I would say, to maintain that healthy relationship with food. Like, it's okay for me to have this one meal in moderation. It's not going to, you know, make me gain 10 pounds. Like, it's just, it's a good way to start establishing that balance and move towards that lifestyle dieting, which is the end result, hopefully, of a reverse diet.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it shouldn't take very long. Like, I tell people, okay, you did a 20-week contest prep. Give me like 6 to 8 weeks to get your calories up a little bit to the point where, okay, you're able to get enough food in that you're satisfied. For most of our clients that do contest prep that are truly stage lean and have done a lengthy prep, go through a recovery process, they recover diet, which is a little bit more of a jump in calories, a lot more calories than a reverse diet. And then we reverse tie it off of that. So then we start to slowly bring calories up based on the response. But, you know, again, it's a very delicate process. It can go awry quickly, and your level of adherence is going to determine your success, because there's no better feeling than successfully reverse dieting out of a show, or the end of a cut for that matter, because there's people that also cut body fat that aren't even competing that, you know, they think they got there and then that's it. Or, you know, you see people that do a cut and then they leave you. They never do the reverse process because they think in order to maintain that, I got to eat the same way as I did. And it's totally far from the truth. But yeah, so I think, and not to mention, how about this? One of the things that people run into most is that usually you're not seeing people do contest after contest after contest after contest. You shouldn't. I mean, I'm telling you right now, I tell my clients that, okay, you want to do competing this year, line up 2 to 3 shows within, you know, a month, month and a half of each other, and then let's knock them out of the water, and then guess what? We're getting out of this deficit, and we're moving into a lean gaining phase. Because
that's exactly what I was waiting to interject.
Oh, yeah. I got beat her to the punch. Mm-hmm. She knew where I was going with it. Mm-hmm. We just throw this off the top, guys. I wish we had like a a really long platform that we can hit a bunch of points. So if we don't make some points, guess what? We'll have contest prep series 3. We just roll with it. We're going to just chat. So we got some questions from the last one. We're just kind of adding into this. So, but again, let's get into, and if you want to interject now, let's get into it. You can
you need to recognize the importance of the reverse diet is, you know, while you've been in this caloric deficit for, you know, 20 some odd weeks or whatever it is, some people longer if they started with the general weight loss and just moved right into a prep. When you're in a deficit, you're more than likely 90% of the time sacrificing some sort of muscle tissue as well. I guess the point of doing show after show after show is you're never going to make any gains. You're going to continue to lose muscle. And the amount of time that you were in that deficit, you should spend probably at least that amount of time in some sort of maintenance or slight surplus in order to gain some of that muscle back and hopefully a little bit more on top of that. If your reverse were to go awry and you put on, you know, rapidly put on some body fat, more than you need, and you need to do another cut, now you're just spending more time in a deficit and you're really just, you know, preventing or prolonging your chance at making these gains that I think a lot of people are looking to do. You're never going to, if you're going to be a long-term competitor, you're never, ever going to look any different if you don't spend any time in a caloric surplus.
And we talk about time because I'm really tired of people saying they gained for 3 months. And
8 weeks is not, you're not gaining muscle in 8 weeks.
You need like a year and a half.
For
a natural athlete, you're looking at like 10 to 12 mm-hmm. pounds of mm-hmm. muscle in a year, like actual tissue. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's
and
pretty
significant.
And within
that 12 months, so say you're coming out of a show. Show day after officially not competing for another year. You're still going to spend some time in a deficit in that reverse diet process too. Right. So you're not even getting into that surplus until a while after the show. So the best thing you can do, and it's hard, but guess what? A year flies by.
Yeah,
and you'll be very proud of yourself if you can see some visual changes.
So far, every client that we've had that's done a long-term lean gaining phase mm-hmm. has come back looking significantly improved. Mm-hmm. And they put a few pounds of muscle on. Mm-hmm. Taking that time and really... You know, and it's not crazy strict. It's not like contest prep year-round.
No, but that's the point of the reverse,
right?
Too, is to build up your calories, learn how to diet, and then learn how to lifestyle diet where you can do some more eyeballing, some more meals out, a free meal here and there, but being able to live your life, eat your food, not gain excessive amounts of body fat and make muscle gains.
Yeah, the off season's a little bit more flexible. So when you see people in their off season, meal one, meal two, like their militant regimen, yeah, good for you. Mm-hmm. But I mean, come on, how realistic?
You know,
how long
people,
are you bulking for?
At the same time, some people that's they're about that life though. Some people love that. I know that there's people who love the routine, who love the regimen. Good for them. If they're in that, if they're where they need to be with their calories, good for them. But
those are generally not the people that are having any issues even during contest prep or after contest prep. So
yeah, cause they're always on,
they're on their game. They've been doing it for years. That's just the way they like to live.
Yep.
Nothing against them. But if you're going to try and fool yourself.
But a lot of us have families and in events and, you know, our whole life doesn't revolve around this. This is a very small portion that has a large impact.
Yes, very good point.
It's a small portion of our life that has a huge impact on the rest of our life. So we want to be able to do it all and have it all work in harmony.
Yeah, seriously. And that's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, off season, progressive tension overload in the gym, getting stronger, adding reps.
Yeah,
adding
hit
weight,
PRs. That's the best.
Hit PRs, focusing on volume, focusing on recovery.
Love lifting. Mm-hmm. You know, love, hate your cardio because you still should probably do it once in a while.
Yeah, a little cardio ain't going to hurt you. You know what I mean? And if you don't have time, you know, add it into your training somehow. Concurrent training is fun to do if you need to. But yeah, that's going to help you. It's going to propel you.
Just be healthy.
Yes. Just live a healthy life. Like train Don't eat completely out of control. Eat to gain weight, but I mean, you know, based on your level of or your history of training and dieting, you know, that's how you would set your tempo of weight gain, or, you know, even during a cut, weight loss. So weight gain, it doesn't need to be a lot, you know, 0.5 pound, 0.75 pound a month. Really, it doesn't need to be excessive, mm-hmm. because that is also going to allow you to, okay, yeah, I'm in a surplus, so yeah, I can go out. I'm not going to go crazy, but I'm not going to ruin my day, and tomorrow I'll be back on it. It's not going to make you, it's not going to set you over the top. You know, it's not going to start adding tons and tons of body fat. That's why we call it a lean gaining phase. Yes, you're going to add body fat, just not over a week or two period where you're going to need to start mini cutting again or going through a cutting phase because you start your contest prep a little too soft. It's there you go. We're going to sacrifice muscle. It's just a longer prep. So the goal of competing is to bring as much muscle mass and as lean as possible, depending on the category, obviously. Good. I'm going to go with, yeah, that's pretty much everyone. So, yeah, off-season goals. That was a topic, and I think this is a really good chance to, you know, make a few points, because most people struggle post-show not having a goal in sight and, you know, struggling with just getting the gym and following a routine, let alone following macros or following their diet and then completing cardio too. They're all over the place. You know, they don't know what to do. I had my show, and I don't have a show in sight. I don't know if I'm going to compete again. Now what do I do? Because you just spent all that time getting ready for a show. There's nothing, you know, why do I got to be so strict and hard on myself? You know, the human nature is, it's pretty normal to go with the path of least resistance. So finding a goal, if you need one, you know, if you're an intrinsically motivated person that can just get up, you know, you're type A, and you're just, I'm going to just keep doing my thing. I'm cool with it. Love it. Those are the people that are meant for contest prep. But we all need goals, and we need some things to do in the off season. So we made a little bit of the most normal thing that I've seen is people doing powerlifting meets in the off season. Not necessarily people are doing, you know, they're not just completely, I'm a powerlifter now and that's all I do, because those guys are doing a little bit different training than what a bodybuilder would do. Their nutrition is a little bit different based on what weight class they're in, I would hope, but not always. but yeah, powerlifting is good because, you know, for us, it's a little bit easier to program that stuff for people. We don't necessarily, we're not going to sit here and tell you we specialize in powerlifting, but we do a power building type training where we do utilize the big three, the bench, the deadlift, and the squat. And we do like to lift a little bit heavier. We will have people doing one rep max testing, and that's it. Obviously, we've done water cuts and things like that for people getting ready for contests and MMA fights and things like that. But again, we don't promote being a powerlifting coach. We give all the credit to those people that do that. But it's good for our clients in the off season. We had somebody the other day that's competing this weekend. She wants to do a powerlifting meet. And she's going to dominate, too, because she's actually pretty strong. She's pretty strong for her body weight, so I'm excited to see that. So what do you think? What is your take on powerlifting? I can tell you my take on it, but I'll let you go first. What do you think?
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. I admire it. I love it. I am in awe watching it.
Yeah.
Regardless of the federation, I know that there's some I don't know. What do you want to say? Just like between the drug-tested, non-drug-tested leagues in the bodybuilding world, I think there's the same kind of animosity, I guess, between the two in the powerlifting world. But for me, regardless, just like bodybuilding, regardless of what federation I am a spectator at, I am always in awe of the competitors. What I love about it is that it's an objective sport. Either you pick the weight up or you don't. You either press it over your head or you don't. You either get down, get back up, or you don't. I mean, Obviously there's a little more technicality to that, whether it being a good lift or not. But
again, judges, there's a little bit of a subjective point to that.
There's a little bit of subjectivity to it. But for the most part, it's objective, and that's what I love about it.
Right.
And it's incredibly impressive to watch people move the weight that they do. So I love it. I mean, I love any of the fitness competition.
Anything fitness related.
Yeah, yeah. It's just fun to... I enjoy watching people... I don't know. I want to pursue their passion. I don't know. Watching people have a good time is enjoyable for me. And watching people get excited for performing, regardless of what that is, you know, even, I don't know, you know, friends on Facebook who have kids that dance and like,
yeah.
It's just great. Like that's amazing. There's so much talent out there. I enjoy watching any of it. So yes, I enjoy powerlifting. I think it's great regardless.
Yeah. I think it's awesome too. Not only is it awesome to be able to focus on, but it's extremely empowering for people.
I love hitting PRs.
Absolutely. And Lissa rips deads. Like she rips deadlifts because she's impressive. I'm not just talking her up because she's my wife.
I deadlift all the time. That's all I want to do.
Seriously. All the deadlifts.
Give me all the deadlifts.
All the deadlifts.
I mean, I'll squat, you know.
You squat pretty good too, though. Like, that's the thing. Like, people ask, like, are you going to do a powerlifting meet?
No.
It's like, I don't know. It's kind of like hitting, it's like kind of ripping deads in the gym and leaving.
Yeah.
Instead of throw 335 around. And
I think I told someone one time, can I wear my bikini?
Can I wear my bikini and heels?
Yeah. Yeah, sure. I'll be there.
Yeah.
Because I love that.
New style singlet.
I love that part of bodybuilding. But anyways. So yeah.
Physique development's, I mean, something that we've always been impressed with. Mm-hmm. It's certainly time consuming. And.
But you'll definitely find me at local powerlifting meets if I can make them. I know a couple just passed and I had wanted to go, but I think.
Yeah, I mean, we have friends in the area here. We've had clients that we've worked with that transition to powerlifting. That's all they do now. And they're just impressive people. We love them. We love them. And we've had fun watching them and just being able to watch their journey, not giving up on fitness, whether they're competing, whether they're working with us or whatever, you know, for them to keep health, fitness, and wellness inside their life. I mean, that's a beautiful thing. So, mm-hmm. And like I said, it's empowering for them. And especially seeing now that we work with quite a few females. And for them to get into powerlifting, which, you know, we're still in that transitional era where, you know, if women lift weights heavy, they're going to look like a man. That's going to be farther from the truth. a lot of that's genetics. How much muscle mass you're actually going to put on from lifting, like anything. Or how much muscle mass you already have. So,
but anyways, we're getting a little off topic here.
We are getting a little off topic. Anyways, powerlifting, good.
It's a good
one
goal.
Of those good things for off season. Yes. And then if you're in, like I said before, if you're intrinsically motivated, just going to the gym, like Alyssa goes to the gym, she hits a PR, she's good with it. She doesn't need to be on a platform. It is what it is. That's fine. You know, obviously we do a little bit of reprogramming because we'd have to lift by a lot of times straps, but.
Which is probably why I'll never do a powerlifting meet. I need my straps.
Yeah. So that is pretty much, I guess that's all I got to say about the second half here of the contest prep dieting. Really short one. It's about a 300-cal miss session for my clients that are going to listen to this.
I don't know. 33 minutes, I could bang out 400 calories.
Alyssa's heart rate is just nasty when
she gets literally going. 450. Yep.
I tell her to slow down. Alyssa, 30 minutes. That's about a 550 cal miss. We don't even do 550s.
I'm not cardiovascularly healthy, I guess. My heart is not healthy.
I think it goes really, too fast. Really it's like, hard. I got 25 minutes between feeding kids and.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is.
Yeah, that's exactly. You're efficient.
I gotta stay on my schedule.
Yes, you do. Because without that, I fall off my schedule too. So, all right, guys. You can always email us any questions that you guys have in regards to contest prep. If you guys are interested in contest prep, please feel free to email us. We're pretty open when it comes to people inquiring about contest prep, especially as of late. We've had quite a large influx of emails about people wanting to do contest prep, and sometimes, unfortunately, we need to turn them down. And then really give them a timeline. Okay, this is what you're looking at, you know, based on our experience. And it's, like I said, it's nothing against you. It's nothing against your physique. It's just we're looking out for your better, your for your health, for your wellness, for your psychological and physiological wellness. You know, so that's that. If you would like to reach us for anything, general coaching or anything other off-topic stuff, upstateempirefit@gmail.com. You can go to our website, upstateempirefitness.com. You can get my lady over here at adevins@upstateempirefitness.com. And our new coach, Dana Siriano, really excited to have her. She's going to be on our next episode. We're going to be talking about some fun stuff. Can't wait. It's dsiriano@upstateempirefitness.com. All right. Thanks for listening, guys. This was a fun topic for Alyssa and I. And because Alyssa's in contest prep right now, we both have some Halo Top waiting for us. And she's giving me the eyes.
I'm ready to go.
Yeah, me too. Thanks for listening, guys. Again, we hope you guys tune in. Hope you guys like the episode. Take care.